Okay, I want to give Freddie and Tusha maximum time. So, who is taking our youngsters out today? Kathy and Kez. Thank you very much indeed. So if our little ones would like to go with Kathy and Kez, our older ones, I think you're staying in today because you've got Tusha to listen to and he is going to be awesome, aren't you? Yeah. for those of you that don't know much about Freddie and Kieran from Delhi, let me just give you a really brief background. They have been friends of Linda and mine and our family for 25 years. We were introduced to them by a previous church leader of ours. We've been out to visit them as a family in Delhi on quite a number of occasions, and we have family stories that still get told about our time with Freddie and Kieran and his family. Tusha, how old are you?
20.
Okay, Tusha is 20. Tusha is travelling. He's a student. He's travelling. Tusha comes from a slum community in Delhi called Mayapuri. Mayapuri was the very first slum community that Linda and I ever walked into when we were with Kieran and Freddie for the very first time. And it had a massive impact on our lives. You'll see some photographs, so I don't need to tell you about it. But understanding the compassion and the love of God through Kieran and Freddie for what is now hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people living in really difficult situations in Delhi, it just overwhelmed me and has continued to overwhelm me. If you want to look at it from an organisational point of view, which I spent quite a bit of my life doing, the work that Kieran and Freddie do at ASHA is, in my opinion, the best holistic development organisation I have ever seen. And Linda and I did quite a lot of travelling in previous years and seeing lots and lots of these types of organisations. And I have to say that I have not come across one that is a better organisation. Why? Because they don't do things to people. They don't have a programme that they do. They sit and listen. And they work with people with their felt needs and the needs that God's speaking to them about doing and the impact it has had on literally hundreds of thousands of lives. They can explain it to you way better than I can. So I'll give the mic over. Please, would you give a big round of applause to Freddie and to Tusha?
Good morning. And I'm so happy to be here once again. And Tushar is traveling with me. He's a good traveling companion. He loves the salt. Oh boy, the first day we had to look hunting for salt. And you should have seen the eyes of all our Brit friends. We're like, ooh, that's a pile of salt for a year, quota. And now he's getting a taste of his apple crumble and his juices, and he likes it. And he says, no, it's better. And as we are traveling together, his salt intake is getting lower and lower by the day. And his coffee is getting black, slowly, with less of sugar. Yeah. Tushar comes from a colony in Mayapuri. And before he starts his speech, I just want to say a short thing that when we met Andrew and Linda, he was playing a guitar in a red T-shirt. And that was in Oasis Church in Ilford and Chadwell Heath. And he said to us that I want to come and talk to you. So we came to Ian Farr's home and we had a chat. And he said, I want to support your work, but on the condition that you will not tell anybody. But now I'm telling you this story. You'll never tell anyone that I'm supporting you. And I just want a one-page report. And he helped us to put in an ambulance, a vehicle, in Mayapuri. And I don't think Tushar was even born that time. And from then on, that work began in Mayapuri and Zakira. We reached out to two places. And from there, we have seen wonderful things happen in that colony. And Tushar comes from that area. Isn't it wonderful? I'm so happy that today I could bring Tushar here in this place. It's because of what happened 20, 22, 23 years ago. You know, Nobody knew it will happen like that, but that's how things happen. And that's the hand of God. So Tushar is going to share his story with us, and I'll be clicking the pictures for him. And I think, can we shift this and bring it a little forward, please? He wants that. He's a speaker. You see, he needs that. He wants this so that he can
no one
keep
will be able to see past you.
Thank you.
You can hold this. Don't hold this.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
So, hello everyone.
Hi.
My name is Tushar, as sir has introduced me. So, my name is Tushar. I live in a slum colony that is located by the side of a railway track in West Delhi. My home consists of just one small room. And this room is shared by all of my four family members. We all sit, study, and sleep in the same room. It is right in front of the largest open drain of Delhi. Through this drain, sewage from all over the city flows. Because of this, my home is constantly full of flies and mosquitoes. When I was 14 years old, I had a life-threatening illness called dengue fever due to these living conditions. Luckily, I was saved. I was born in great poverty to my parents. My father, he's a laborer and doing low-paid and dangerous work in a scrapyard. He earns barely 75 pounds in a month. And he is one among many thousands of laborers of Delhi who are exploited due to their poverty and illiteracy. He's never sure of whether he will have his job or not. My mother has studied till class 10, and she gives coaching in our home to the slum children in our colony. She has to do this so that we can survive. My father and I have had a stressful relationship because his sleep is disturbed when I study at night, as we all live in one room. So I have to read under the dim light of a small lamp in one corner of the room. I have no other option. I can never forget the day when I was playing an Indian street game called Gilli Danda when a young Asha ambassador called Abhishek approached me. So that meeting changed my life. I had never heard of Asha until then. Abhishek took me to the Asha center and... sorry. So... Abhishek, that boy, senior ambassador of Asha, he took me to the Asha center and he introduced me to the Asha team leader of Mayapuri, Tracy, and many other kind and loving members of the Asha family. The books I had always dreamed of buying but could not buy due to financial conditions, so all those books were provided by Asha. I was thrilled. Now I could study well and also study in the peace and quiet of the center. The senior Asha ambassadors, they helped me, supported me, and mentored me. I could hardly believe it when I scored 88.5% in my high school national exam. I had never thought... Thank you. So, as you guys are surprised, so I was also surprised because I had never thought my eyes would ever witness such marks and grades. I also topped my school in the humanities subjects. After that, I was able to secure admission in a history honors program at Delhi University. This was my dream course, and I was in. The first student from my entire village and community to go to university. Brilliant. And Asha, of course, they understood my financial difficulties and they paid for my tuition and other expenses. I must say that without this, I would have become a laborer like my father. When I interned at the British High Commission through Asha and entered the beautiful office on the first day, I wondered if I was daydreaming. It was an experience I don't have enough words to describe. And British High Commissioner, he gave me award of excellence of my internship certificate. There is it. So, after that, next I did my second Asha internship at the India office of Macquarie Global Services, an Australian investment bank. So, these two internships opened my eyes to the world outside. I was excited to have the chance to improve my communication and my professional skills. I could have never received such an opportunity in my life without Asha. I have now decided that I would like to do a master's in history. Maybe I will become a historian or a curator someday. So I'm extremely fortunate that Dr. Kiran, the founder of Asha, she herself has been mentoring me, and we are having discussions on the possibility of me doing my master's at the University of Sydney next year. Imagine if that will become true someday. I love being an Asha ambassador and spreading the Asha values that have completely changed my life. So my favorite value is gratitude, because I can express my feelings from the bottom of my heart. And I love showing my gratitude to all those who have helped me and supported me. I may forget many people and incidents in my life, but I can never forget Dr. Kiran, and will always love her as my mother. As a child growing in poverty, I played barefooted in the dirty lanes by the railway track. At that time, I didn't have enough to eat. But today, I have nearly completed my bachelor's in history honors with a GPA of 7.3 out of 10. And I studied away until the early hours of the morning as the trains go by on the railway track every few minutes. Now, I pray that I can move with my family into my own home someday and give them a life of dignity. Thank you to all the Asha friends who have changed my life and lives of many other people like me. We will always remain grateful to you and pray that God will give you a long, healthy, and happy life. Thank you. Sir.
One of the most essential things, I think, that can happen to a person, and as we grow in our journey with the Lord and walk with Him, is to develop a very different set of optics and see things in a very different way. And my topic this morning, what I want to share on, is to see the invisible so that we can do the impossible. And this has been in my heart for a very, very long time. And as I was traveling and as I was meeting other people, I realized that this is actually the story of Asha. In 2 Kings chapter 6, Syria was surrounded, and Elijah, his servant, were there, and his servant said to Elijah, "What shall we do?" And Elijah prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And when his spiritual eyes was open, what he saw changed everything. We can look at things that are not seen with the natural eye. We have to develop our spiritual eyes by and by to begin to see things the way God has for us, before they ever begin to happen in the natural. We have to see the invisible before we can do the impossible. Strange, isn't it? How can we see the invisible before we begin to do the impossible? Seeing the invisible brings about great endurance. Well, let's take your case. 24 years ago, invariably, unconsciously, you saw the invisible. You know? That helped us to do the impossible. Yeah. And that's what happens in partnerships and friends. Even in your walk spiritually, you will see. Many times we see something so far away and things begin to change. We need the Holy Spirit to put a mentor in our life so that it will help us to shift us looking into a dimension that we have never looked before. And Elijah saw the invisible. He acted. He didn't react. And his servant needed to be taught that lesson. We need to act sometimes and not react. Why should you focus on the facts of an army surrounding you or any problem surrounding you when the focus is on the truth that God has for us? I think it will always overcome the situation. When the Holy Spirit begins to open our eyes, it will change everything in a split second. And I pray that God will open our eyes this morning, that we will see the invisible and thereby do the impossible. Jesus just did that. Never reacted, but always acted. And he always said, isn't it? I always see what my Father is doing. And the people must be like, what's he talking? He's a crackpot. Am I following Jesus? You see, the Messiah is a real crack. He's seeing what he's seeing the Father do. But we can't see it. But Jesus saw that. Always saw it. He said, I only do that which I see the Father do. Wow, what a dimension. And that's the dimension that we want to be in as a church, in our places of work, wherever we are, we can be in that kind of dimension. And Asha sees the cultural wealth of our slums, our diversity. We see the resilience of our kids and our families. And Asha believes that every child in the slum is made by God and possesses dignity, talent, and potential that mirrors the very glory of the unseen Maker. So we begin to say every time in Asha, if you want to do the impossible, we have to see the invisible. It's a strength-based approach of life and work. It's also a way to think about and practice the meaning of faith. Faith is the reality of what we hope for, the proof of what we don't see. Fine. But how can you guarantee your hopes? How can you prove the existence of the goodness of God? Well, in one sense, you can't. You can't guarantee the future, and you can't prove the invisible. And yet, in another sense, trust makes hope so real, and faith brings life to the invisible, and so proves it to all of us. Finding small possible remedies for real daily programs is very important work, and finding contentment and peace with our not-so-great present realities is a big part of good life, a faithful life. But if we only saw what was possible, if we only saw what was possible, that's all we would ever have. And to see the invisible strength in ourselves, our friends, the invisible strengths in ourselves, in our friends, in our families, in our neighbors, our workplaces, our communities, is to nourish hope in what we can still become. And to trust God is with us. And that the nature of our invisible God is a steadfast kindness, justice and love, and to give us that compass in our life. It can turn us around completely. Jesus talked about that seed, the mustard seed. And those seeds are crazy seeds, right? It's so resilient. You can stand in a jar for years together and nothing will happen to it. Nothing will happen. But put it in a situation and just see how it multiplies. We cannot neglect it. We cannot throw it away. We cannot underestimate it. It's powerful. The kingdom of God is like a cholera-infested slum community in northern India. It's a crowded cluster of tenements, houses on the roadside, where trash is sorted out, where children work, where parents, hopes and dreams and bodies die. That's what's happening. A young Indian pediatrician, that was my wifey, 1988, just out of medical school, saw such a community through the eyes of faith and hope and love, and she set up a mobile clinic. That clinic became a public center, a public health center in Ambedkar Basti, which became a women's group and a children's group, with time and care and hope and skill and faith and love, became a centers of education, healthcare, empowerment throughout the slums of Delhi that we are working in today, 95. Where most people saw outcasts, Kiran and the Asha family saw people made in the image of God that could be empowered to develop a very healthy community. Where others saw communities you would never let your kids enter, Asha saw loving neighborhoods where their own children began to mingle. That's what my kids did. They're the slum kids' home. They would be with us. They were a part of our family. They lived with us. They ate with us. They shared things with us. They wore our clothes. They would bring us gifts. The slum kids would bring us gifts from their home and we would use it in our homes. They just became a part of our lives. it was a foregone and a mathematical certainty that most children would end up with marginal or with no education and end up as outcasts in a class-torn society. Asha has seen children with, over a period of time, completely changed. 2,700 till date in Delhi University. And then on, we began to have a relationships with the companies and with the high commissions. That today, more than 8 high commissions are working along with us and providing us internship for our kids. Like he went to the British High Commission. Some people go to the Belgium. Some people go to the Australian High Commission. And then to multinational companies. Rio Tinto, Macquarie, Mazars. I'm doing a presentation with Mazars. Anyone in Mazars here? This Friday we are going there. We're going to meet Tom. He's a Christian. He's a CEO. He's a Christian. Nice guy. And they began to support us and take our kids and teach them, train them. And the whole life changed. You know, this guy in the corner there, he's got a permanent job in PwC. Divakar's brother is in Grand Thornton. Suman, a very, very difficult situation. She lost her mother suddenly. Her mom fell down and died. So she thought her mom fell and she died. Actually, no. Her mom had a stroke. We came to know later. Her mom had a stroke. She died. Suman's father is a drunkard. He used to take away all the money that her mother used to save. And she gets up at 5 in the morning, cooks, cleans, goes to college. But prior to that, her education had come to a stop because there was no money at home. She stopped studying, but we picked her up along the way. And Suman is now running. And she's interned with the Mazars group. And she, if you maybe next time I'll bring her along with me. I'm planning to bring a girl next time. Yeah. And you hear their story, oh my gosh. 5 in the morning, they're up cooking for 5 people, each guy eating 6 roti, 6 pies of 30 rotis, zigwans and piles of dal. And then they have to go to college and they have to come and wash their clothes, clean their place, keep everything ready because they don't know how the father is going to react at the situation if the food is not there. Which he'll get a beating. Such difficult situation. But today her life is changed and she wants to become something in life. In a 3rd year, same college as you're going, she's doing political science. Who is this guy?
Amritesh.
Ah, the Macquarie man. His father is a gardener. He got admitted in from a Hindi school to an English school because his father was teaching in the school. But that brought a setback in his life because he was treated like an outcast in the system that he began to stammer. And he had this huge stammering problem. But you know, love, when you begin to embrace them and teach them and just take care of them. Amritesh today is a brand ambassador for Asha in Macquarie. He's got a permanent job there in the cost accounting systems in Macquarie. His stammering has become minimum, hardly stammers. And he is mentoring 8 boys for the IELTS exam. And he's one of them. So if you pass, it's kudos to Amritesh. And you go to Sydney and he stays in India. But he's mentoring them. And he's such a fantastic guy. 93.5% holder. Such an intelligent boy. You know this boy, Mahinder. He's one of our brand ambassadors in Sydney. And he used to study, very intelligent fellow. His father was a gardener, so kick him out of the house because he wanted to sleep. Same story as his. And Mahinder would go to the lamp shade outside and study. We picked him up from the colonies and realized he's got brains. He did his engineering, went to Golgathia, and then went to the University of Melbourne. That was our first partnership with them. And then we began to work along with them. And they gave him a full scholarship. And he did his computer engineering. And after he did his computer engineering, he's got a job in Macquarie and all qualified to get his PR now. Very excited. And He sent me a payslip a couple of months ago. He said, just want to share with you my payslip, and I thought you'd be really happy. I said, yeah, $75,000. So why wouldn't I be happy? That's his per annum. And he wants to do and help people. And now he goes to different places and talks about the work of Asher. Had the opportunity to stand along with the producer of the movie Lion and talk about the work of Asher in Sydney. Superb guy. Total life experience. And now he is galloping and he wants more and more boys and girls to come out and do differently. Chandan. Chandan Mandal is his name. In India, the moment you start using the surname, you come to know what caste he's from. So he is Joshi. Higher caste. He's a Brahmin. But yesterday I told him, my grandfather was a Saraswat Brahmin, higher than him. And he became a Christian and became a principal of the school there. But he is Joshi, Brahmin, very high up. Mandal, low down. Yes. Low caste. What is that, Dobi? What is that? Yeah.
Third class,
they wash clothes. So they're taken very low down in the caste system. So if you talk to Chandan, when in India, he'll say, hi, I'm Chandan. He'll never say Mandal. Because the moment he says Mandal, he's judged. And he's put aside. He's taken aside. And people don't want to talk to him. They won't eat from him. They'll wash their hands. He's a dhobi. But Chandan had brains here. And we picked him up when he was very young. He was a part of our program. He went for an immersion experience in the ANU. Did his mathematics training for 3 months with the Nobel laureate in mathematics. And then today, he's here. He's an imperial. He won the Chevening Scholarship, £40,000. And he's studying there. And today, Chandan Mandal is going to be with me in Twickenham and going to share the dais with me, and he's going to be speaking to the people in St. Stephen's in Twickenham. Oh, very rich people there. Yeah. I'm going to introduce him. Come on, guys. That's where he comes from. But it was because something happened and something touched him. And he began to see, I can do it. I can achieve this. And this is what Chandan hopes to really, he's actually studying pure mathematics, is really algebra and typology. His signs and symbols, nobody understands. I don't. That's why I say, never tell a person that anything cannot be done. God may have been waiting centuries for someone ignorant enough of the impossible to do that very thing. The young people, their lives are being challenged in Asha. And they said, come on, let's do it. Today, Asha works in 95 communities covering a population of nearly 800,000 people. Women who once were forced to be indoors. Today, the women in Asha are out of the shadows, lobbying with stakeholders and politicians, accessing the system of water, electricity, shelter and loans. They're a big movement by themselves. And I would tread very carefully here. You often hear them boasting and saying, oh, we met the president, we met the prime minister. Did you shake hands with Julia Gillard? Oh, you did, I did, shake hands with her. I met the president of Denmark. And they took him around the whole colony in Jeevanagar, much to the annoyance of our national security guards. And they were very angry with us that we didn't take their permission. So what can I do if the prime minister says, I want to go inside? I can't stop him. And the women say, come on, let's go into our houses. Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Fear, rejection is now a thing of the past. And they want to have a bright future for themselves too. And Asha encourages the community, boys and girls, women and men, and pray that they will do the impossible in accordance with their values of dignity, empowerment, justice, nonviolence, compassion, gratitude, generosity, optimism, joy, and the power of touch, which is sometimes so lacking in the Western part of the world. Oh, don't touch, it's not allowed. But sometimes a hug and a touch does miracles. That woman said, if I can only touch and something happened. Just a hug for a person who's suffering, I tell you, it just melts them, changes them. They open up their hearts. They begin to tell you everything that they went through in their lives. And you can be a blessing to them. So, what I'm saying today in Asha and to all my brothers and sisters, whoever I'm meeting in India, is stop preaching the gospel. Can you stop it? Just live it. Stop preaching. You preached and preached and nothing happened. Start living it. Things will begin to happen. Today we have a law in our country. Any charity doing conversion, changing, preaching, religion, will lose their registration status. Wonderful, isn't it? Super. Now what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Live it. Live it. You can't preach. So start living it. Start living. And I hope it happens. It's good. Former Prime Minister Atal Bihari Vajpayee said, don't touch that giant if it's sleeping. Hasn't history taught you that every time the giant woke up, something happened? And that giant is the church. If he's sleeping, let him sleep, he said. Don't touch them. You touch the giant, you see what will happen. India will change. I have with me a very fine book. Now this is a sales pitch. No. This is our life. You see the picture there? 4 years ago, Kiran started an experiment. She said, we're going to have everybody cook their food at home and bring it to us. And we're going to eat together. And there was a riot in our colonies. They said, no way. We're not going to allow them to cook at home. No way. Let them cook in front of us. Because the higher caste people were afraid how the mandals will be cooking, how the Srivastavas will be cooking, how the people who clean the toilet, how will they be cooking with hands that will be dirty? How are we going to eat their food? No way. So Kira said, I don't care. I'm going to come and sit like this and I'm going to eat and we're going to eat together. So we really thought that we will lose our women's movement. It'll break, it'll fracture. It didn't. Slowly, 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 over the years, they've come around. And now we all sit together and eat. And so does the Brahmin. So does the Mandal in our house on the same table. Sit together and eat. And that has proved so good to us that we are one. We are one. There's no difference in us. And that's how this book came out to be. It holds the recipes of the poor and the rich and the downcast, the downtrodden, their recipes with stories. The purple ones here that you have, they are stories. He was with us last time, Zubair, yeah. He's made something. What is it? Oh, he made a karti roll. They actually had to cook in front of us. So he made a karti roll. Yeah. So as they were cooking, it was being filmed. And there is recipes of people. And purple stands for all the stories. It's going for £20. I only have 8 copies, but it's available on Amazon. If you need it, you can have it today. But it actually has integrated the life. It's our thread that is just woven right through every one of us. That we feel that you're one of us. We launched this book in the British High Commission. Sir Dominic was kind enough to do the kebabs. He fried the kebabs and he fed everyone. And some people did some other stuff. All the food that day came from the kitchen of the High Commissioner was based on this recipe. We launched it in the US. I launched it in downtown Manhattan, a very, very posh church, absolutely stinking rich. And when I was telling them about this, they said, "Ah, what? I couldn't believe it." So such a thing happens in some parts of the world. And that's our story. Walk with us. And let's see together the impossible things happening. the boy is slated to go to Sydney next year. Abhishek is receiving his certificate on November 19th by the Vice Chancellor of Sydney University. In his slum, in front of thousands of people, they're going to give the scholarship. That's a fully paid scholarship for 2 years. And he's getting it this year. That's so good. What God can do? He can take any one of us and turn us upside down and make us run for him. Whatever area you are good at, whatever area you're best at, he can just turn it around and you can see that thing happen. Please continue to pray for us. Oh, we have so many boys and girls. My biggest hassle is when the girls are, when it's there, they're going to get it, and then they get forced to marry. They can't do anything sometimes. It's so difficult. Pray for a second line of leadership. I'm 60 now. This December I'll be 60. So we are now saying, God, send somebody. Pray for us. And we have young people working in Asha with us full time. And we are employing them into our program in admin and in promotional and fundraising work in Asha, in Delhi. So they're helping us. So just pray that we get more and more people and we have the resources to send more of these guys. So Sydney University has promised one scholarship every year. Abhishek is gone. You're next. You have to get IELTS 7 marks. 7 out of 10 he has a score.
Out of 9.
7 out of 9. Yeah, 7 out of 9. You need that. Pray. That's just for you. If you see that invisible thing, man, you will get the impossible. That's for you. And God will take you there and you will be a blessing to many. It's a big task. It's not impossible. So I will step down and thank you once again, Andrew. Great friendship. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Ian. And for all of you.
Thank you so much. I'm going to struggle to get through this. Because I'm standing here and I can see your eyes, you don't need to look at each other, you just look at mine. So just maybe God has been waiting for centuries that an ignorant person like you or me would believe that we could do the impossible. What's your impossible? What's your impossible? And that's why I knew God would get us this morning. Because he wants us to dream the impossible. And if he can do it through one young pediatrician sitting under a banyan tree in a slum colony in Delhi that is now that, I can testify that they're just ordinary, normal people who God spoke to and they said, yeah, go on, we'll have a go. And I am pretty sure that if he had given Kieran and Freddie a vision of what it was going to be like today or in 10 years' time, then they'd have gone, no chance, I'm not doing that. But he showed them a need and they just started. What's your impossible? So I think we're going to do two things now. I think it's really important that we let God's Spirit mull, I can't think of a better word, in us around what we've heard, around what God wants us to do. So if John, would you like to come back and play wherever he's gone? He's gone. Cheers, thank you. let us continue to worship and just keep asking, God, what do you want to say to me? What's my impossible? What do you want me to do? So at the same time, we did say that we want to take up an offering. Oh my gosh, I honestly can't think of anything I would prefer to invest in right at this moment than what these guys are doing. To have the privilege of just having given some money 20-something years ago that got Asha into the slum colony where Tusha lives, and to see the impact that that has had. I just don't know how to express my gratitude that God gave me the opportunity of earning some money that I could invest in that. One of the things I often say to people when they talk to me about my financial life is the one thing nobody can ever, ever take away from me is that which I have given away. And it is an absolute honour for me to have been able to give some of that to these guys, because if Tusha was the only youngster that ever came out of that slum colony and is now in the position he's in, I'd be happy for the rest of my life. But I know that that's actually not the case. There are loads of them